South Carolina in a wonderful church, and he was a wonderful man. Still is. I don't have those kind of things, anything bad to say about him. But I heard him playing the piano on the radio, and I said, Sheila, we're going to go hear this guy. And we went up and heard him, and wow, he could just sing the Psalms. And he could just make them up as he went. He could sing the Psalms of David from the Book of Psalms. And he just was a very worshipful person as far as his relationship with God and bringing other people into that. But right in the midst of that, he said, now, y'all, excuse me. He said, what's happened to me is this. He said, I'm battling a very big cold right now, and it's a little bit hard for me to sing and that kind of thing. And of course, we don't fault him for that, but that's what he said he was doing. And he said, and then he went on to say, I guess sometimes I just thought about it and prayed about it, and I guess sometimes God just puts this on me to slow me down. Somebody say, ignorant praying. Ignorant praying. No. Well, I mean, would you say that about sin? I mean, I just sometimes God just teaches me to be humble by making me go out and commit adultery with somebody. No. You'd say, that's foolish, Pastor. Of course it is. And it's foolish to think, listen, it's foolish to think that God puts anything on you that Jesus paid the price to get off of you. Why is he going to be working against himself? No, he paid the price to get it off of you. He's not in the business of putting it on you. He paid the price to get it off of you. But sometimes we pray ignorantly. Oh, we'll ask God for stuff or things in life that's just foolishness. All kind of foolishness that we'll pray about and talked about last week, winning the lottery or this, that, and the other. We just pray and believe in God for this or that, the other. All kind of foolish things we'll pray about. Just seeking God for this or praying for another, spouse or husband or wife when you already got one. And all this kind of stuff that people do, and praying for God to kill people and just destroy them and all that kind of stuff. I have no doubt that with the last president or this one, at least a lot of Americans have prayed to kill one or the other. Amen? I mean, you hear it out there praying to kill. You know, my goodness. People, everybody say ignorant praying. Ignorant praying. I wouldn't pray for somebody to get killed. I pray for them to get saved. Amen? Amen. Let the flesh die out. You know, let them get saved and that kind of thing. But there's ignorant praying. And you have to get away from ignorant praying. And when you get into praying and you're seeking God and you have a revelation that comes to you that doesn't line up with the Scripture, that's an ignorant revelation. It didn't come to you from God. When you're praying and you're seeking God and you feel like God wants you to do something and it's going to hurt somebody else and it's going to destroy and it's going to kill and it's going to steal, that's an ignorant revelation that you got. And so we got to be careful about not praying ignorantly and the things that we ask God to do. The Bible says God is able to do above and abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. And that power working within us is ignorant power. Look where you're at. You don't know how to pray or don't know what to pray. That's why disciples come to Jesus and say, we know you got a good prayer life. Lord, teach us how to pray. And don't be so stubborn or bull-headed about it that you just won't change what you're doing if you do it, find out you're doing something wrong. Heard a man say many years ago that he was confronted with the truth by someone else, and he said, well, brother, I'll just tell you what, like it is. I've just preached it this way so long, I ain't changing now. Even though he knew it was wrong. Even though he knew it was wrong. And so we got to learn to change. We got to learn to grow. We got to learn to pray accurately, not ignorantly. And Jesus said that's kind of where you are worshiping, but you're worshiping, you don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're doing. You have ignorant worshiping, and you can have ignorant prayer life. Now let's go to the other side of it. Look at verse 22 again. Remember he said to the woman, Samaritan woman, you worship, you know not what. Now speaking of the Jews, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. A second kind of prayer, now don't take this one the wrong way, but a second kind of prayer that is not effectual toward God is intelligent praying. When you rest solely on intelligence. Such as, now you know that doctor told me this, and he did all these tests, and every one of those tests reveal this. And that's what I'm going with. Well, you probably prayed intelligently. But you're not going to see much happen in your life. You're going by all the facts and the figures. You look at your checkbook and you say, now look here, I only make this so much where I work. They won't pay me no more. They don't pay no more in this county. They don't pay no more at this place that I work. There ain't no way for me to get any more financial income resources coming into my life. All that might be true, literally, but when it comes to God, it's ignorant praying. Because the Bible teaches us that God supplies all of our needs, not according to where you work, or your job, or your education, or your talent, or your ability, but according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? And so that's where the faith person prays. But so you can look at things and I know how to do this, or wait a minute, I know what I did. I went to a prayer course. And in this prayer course, they taught me pray this, 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 and this. And so every time I come into the arena of prayer, I'm checking off every little thing and every little step I'm supposed to pray when I pray. And I'm depending on those steps and those, you know, different kind of a formula that I'm using to get my prayers answered. Intelligent, yes, but not really moving God. Because the Samaritans or the Jews, either one weren't worshiping right. And the Jews at that time were still worshiping at the temple that had been built by Herod. They were at the right place. The one was at the wrong place, but neither one of them were worshiping right. And see, sometimes we get so carried up in this stuff that you know, we got to do it this way. It's got to be my way. And bam, bam, bam. The disciples come to Jesus one time. We saw this other guy who's over there casting out devils. He's casting out devils in your name, and he's not of us. Jesus said, let him alone. Let him alone. And sometimes we want everything to be of us. Has to be exactly the way we do it. Are you a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian. I'm Baptist. No, good Baptist brothers are Christians. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, what about you? No, I'm Methodist. I'm Methodist. I've been Methodist. All my whole family's been Methodist. We Methodist. That's what we are. Well, Methodists are some good folks, and Baptists are some good folks. But it really doesn't matter. That's that you got to go past being Methodist or Baptist or whatever we are in a denomination. Put that in there too. You got to go past all of that and get to the fact that are you Christian? Are you Christ-like? And so you can have some intelligent things going on, and you think you just got it all written down, and God just has a way of invading your life, and you look at every bit of that. I mean, for years, I understand this. Now, understand what I'm saying. I understand in the area of confession, I'm going to speak the word. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm not foolish enough to think just because I got one comma out of my sentence wrong, or somehow I was so devastated in my life, and I come to God, and in a moment of time, I just happen to speak the wrong word that God just backs up and says, all right, that's it. I'm gone now. You're done, boy. Because you didn't. No. It's not on that kind of a basis. It's on a basis of relationship with the Father and having a humble and teachable spirit. If he tells you you're speaking the wrong words, change the words. No problem in that. But at the same time, do we think that just because something's going on, I mean, you got a child that's at your house, and you tell the child, don't step in the road. And the child goes out and steps in the road and gets hit in the car. And you holler at your child, that's good enough for you. I'm not calling EMS. I told you not to go out there. No, you're going to call EMS, aren't you? But some of us think that's what God's going to do to us. Oh, you said the wrong word. Oh, Lord, that's it, the end of the world. You said the wrong word in prayer. And don't go to the extreme. Say the right words in prayer. All right, everybody understand? Say the right stuff in prayer. But understand you got relationship with God the Father. Okay? Do the right thing. So some people want to go with so intelligent worship, they miss God. When I went to seminary, I had one professor. There were several of them, very, very smart. I mean, much smarter than myself for sure. But I had one professor, and he spoke seven different languages. Seven different languages. I mean, you know, he knew theology and all this kind of stuff that he had. And I was surprised to hear his testimony that out of every bit of that, that he would say stuff like, well, I hope there's a God, because if there's not, I guess we've missed it all. But I just don't know. They later on terminated him because he didn't have, you know, I mean, what's a man teaching you theology and don't even know God? Isn't that strange? So you can be very intelligent. But where's the goods at? Where's the relationship at? I mean, you know what? Sheila and I, we're married, and we have got a marriage certificate, don't we? I think we do. We got a marriage certificate that we've got stored up somewhere that we went over here in Lawrence County, went up on the second floor up there, and it was called Annex now, and got our marriage certificate up there. I remember doing that paying. It was $3 to get that thing. That was a lot of money we paid. But $3 to get that thing. And if you look at that, that tells us technically we married. But now she's always going her direction. I'm always going mine. And we just passed like two ships in the night, and she's checking in while I'm checking out. All that kind of stuff going on. Then we ain't got much of a marriage, do we? But technically, intellectually, you'd have to say we're married. And so we got to get away from that in the arena of prayer. Are you praying something from God? Okay, it's prayer time now. Let me move on a little bit. We'll see it. Look at verse 23. The hour comes. Notice that. The hour comes and now is when true worshipers, that's the third kind of worshiper. The first kind is the ignorant worshiper or an ignorant prayer. The second kind is an intelligent worshiper or an intelligent prayer. But the third kind is a true worshiper or a true prayer. Everybody say true worshiper. That's where we want to be. Amen? Want to be that true worshiper. Now don't take these other two things. You know, just don't take stuff and just throw it out there and say, Pastor said this and that. I mean, when I talk about ignorant worship, sometimes we pray, don't know. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we pray, don't know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit come and help us pray. And so just don't take that to the extreme and make a giant-sized doctrine out of ignorant worship. Like the pastor said, you never ought to be ignorant in worship. Sometimes we don't know some things. And the same with intelligence. Don't just throw out your intelligence when you start praying. I mean, don't just do that. We went to church one time, Sheila and I, and years ago, we went pastoring and or evangelizing. This guy came up and said, I want to see y'all worship tonight. I said, you do? He said, yes, I was going to preach that night. He said, yeah, and when I do, I want to see your wife whip that hair all over this place. I said, you want to see that? You want to see my wife get up and run around this church and whip her hair? You're going to be here a long time, brother, if you're waiting on that. Ignorant worship. And right on the other hand, you know, if the Spirit of God overcomes you and you have to whip your hair, that's all right. I wish I had more of it to whip myself, but anyway. Amen. Amen. Don't laugh too loud over it, Robert. Anyway. I see you looking at me, Dennis. Then you look down and I look. I see. I know what's going on. Look at verse 23. The hour comes and now is when true worshipers, that's what I want to be, shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. The Father seeks such to worship him. Have you ever thought, God is just crying out for you and me to come into a real relationship with him. He's looking for people that really have a relationship with him. He's seeking you. In fact, God is seeking you more than you're seeking him. He really is. Now, he's not looking for somebody that's all in intelligence or somebody that's all in ignorance, of course, either one. He's looking for somebody that really wants to worship. I hate to say this. I hope every one of us came to church today with a true intent to worship and seek God. I don't know. Some of us might have walked in the door because we said it's Sunday. I guess I ought to go. Or a husband or wife went. I guess we ought to take the kids. Or this is what we always do on Sundays. That kind of thing. And even you and me in this house today, God's really looking for you and me to get serious. To really worship him. To really love him. Look what he said. The Father's seeking such to worship him. He's looking for a true worshiper. A true worshiper. Now then, everybody say, God is a spirit. And if you look at John 4 and you go on down to verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see that? A true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. Everybody say spirit and truth. A true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. Now, what does it mean to worship in spirit? If you're worshiping in spirit, you're praying, you're seeking God in spirit, what does it mean to worship in spirit? The thing about a spirit is this. A spirit is not bound by space or time. Everybody say space or time. Spirits are not bound by space or time. Spirits, spiritual reality, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of you, is not bound by space or time. Okay? So a true worshiper must worship where he is not bound by space or time. Pastor, know what time it is? I got to be out here by 12 today. You're not worshiping because you're bound by time. Well, don't you know I got an obligation? Don't you know I got a thing? He knows. But true worshipers worship in spirit. Spirit is not bound by space or time. Anybody getting that? Spirit's not bound by space or time. And he wants you to worship in spirit. Now, the woman wanted to know that, which place is to worship. And she's saying, do I worship here or worship there? Prayer, worship's not bound by space. I got to rush to the church because I got to get a prayer through. Because if I ain't at church, I don't feel spiritual and I can't get a prayer through. You're bound by space. You're bound by space. You know everybody, come on to church. Amen? But you know what? Just because I'm in this building don't make me no Christian. No more than it does you. I can't get a prayer through no more in this altar than I can anywhere else. Now, I know I've heard it preached, you have too. It's all right, I'm not against those things. But I've heard people say, my, if something comes against me, then just pull me into that precious altar at church. Take me down to the pulpit. Let me bow my knees where saints of God have cried and prayed and sought God over the years. And it's there that I can get a prayer through. Somebody say amen. Right? And we've always, glory, hallelujah. Got to get to the church. Well, look. We live in an age where we don't need to be pushing away the church too much. We need more people coming. Amen? But it ain't this altar. It ain't that piece of carpet that's down there. It's not where, thank God, saints of God have cried and prayed around this altar. And so, those tears are falling us off. It's not that. It's God is a spirit. He's not carpet. He's a spirit. He's not house. And you are spirit. And in your prayer life, your spirit's got to touch his spirit. Now, that can happen in here, thank God for it. Amen? I mean, we come in here and we pray, do an intercessory prayer, and bind the devils all over this place and make sure there's nothing going on in here. Make it easy for you to come in and worship. Absolutely. And you go out into the world, and sometimes you have to go out in that darkness and pierce the darkness and just pray through that things out there. I understand that. But there's just as much God outside in the gully as there is God right here in this house. Amen? He is. But how come sometimes we think that? I know what I'm going to do. And believe me, this is the person I love and I respect. I really do. I know he had some problems, but I love him. But Oral Roberts out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he built this wonderful prayer tower. Devoted for prayer. Thank God for it. It's a big tower. A lot of people can be in that thing. And thank God for it. A place that on a campus of a college, university, where the biggest thing in the whole college is a spire of a tower that goes up and is devoted to prayer and seeking God. But I understand it. Thank God for all that. But you ain't got to go out to Oral Roberts' prayer tower just to get a prayer answered. Amen? And I've got special, we've got a place in this church that's devoted to prayer. As you go in this prayer room here to the right-hand side, the lower prayer room we've got in the upper and the lower, they both have places where you can kneel around. They both got images of Christian images and those kind of things around the wall that sort of make it devotional in the room that it's in. It's got lighting in there that doesn't come all the way up. It can be dimmed a little bit in there so it's just not blaring in your eyes, that kind of thing. There's a table in the middle there that's got a map of Lawrence County on and different prayer requests people have given are on top of that table. It's a wonderful place devoted to prayer. Well, use it more. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong in that. All for it. But you can get a prayer answered just as good at your house as you can in that prayer room. If you think you got to be in that prayer room just to get the prayer answered, you're not praying in spirit. And he said, pray in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit and in truth. If anything I got to do like that, I mean, whatever it might be, if whatever way we want to look, you know, church nowadays is a little more casual, we wear different things, but if a person has to have a robe on that goes down to his feet and a little hat on or this and that and other before he really looks religious or looks like a pastor or a preacher, you got problems. If you want to wear that stuff, that's okay. It doesn't matter to me. If that's what you want to wear, it don't matter to me. But if that's what you're counting on to make you quote-unquote religious, or make you look Christian, you done missed the boat by far. And the same way God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. I pray by the Lord's Prayer in the book of Matthew 6. That's great. But if I'm just stuck there all the time and can't go over here, and the Holy Spirit just touches my heart to pray a different direction all of a sudden and brings it in my life, not now, Holy Spirit. I'm praying right here by the Lord's Prayer. That's what I'm doing. No, then I got bound up right there too. We pray by spirit. It's not bound by space. It's not bound by time. Everybody say time. That's one reason a lot of people don't get their prayers answered. Now, I don't think that you got to sit down and you got to pray or this kind of other thing and just pray for, you know, so often, hour after hour after hour after hour, to get a prayer answered. I think it depends on where you're at and what kind of prayer you're praying. Now, if you're praying a devotional prayer and you're wanting to draw closer to God in consecration, that prayer never ends. You pray that continually. We're continually in His presence, basking in His love, praying and seeking God. Continually. But there are some things, you better not do that, though, if you want to get a bill paid by tomorrow. Amen? I mean, there's some time to do some commanding with authority. And the reason you can command with authority, because you have spent all that long time in prayer and different things. Just staying in His presence. Whatever it takes. I mean, that's what we do. But if you've got a time limit set, now, God, I've got 4.5 minutes right here it is. 4.5 minutes that I'm going to pray. I'm a very stickler for time. I do. Every time I pray, man, I got a counter going. Not because I can't pray longer, because I don't want to pray less. That's what I want to do. I want to make sure I don't pray less than what I got on my counter. And I do that. But the thing is, we're not bound by a certain time. If some of you walked into the building, I mean, you know, you walked into the building today, I don't know. You was at home and you, hey, Doris, let's go to church. And you and Doris start to church and, come on, get them kids in. I'm going to whip them kids. I'm going to tear them up if I don't get them in the house of God. You know, we're going to church today. Where's my Bible? Get that book Daddy loves so much over there. And they bring you the Sears catalog. But anyway, bring that Bible to you. And you finally get to church. And as you get to church, it's Alan, let's get in the church. Come back, it's late again. That preacher's going to holler in. So you walk in the door and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's great to see you, brother and sister. Glad you're in the house of the Lord today. And you moved into this space and you got real religious. And that's exactly what you did till you got religious. You didn't get worshipful. You got religious. And you're in here today and we're doing what we're doing. And then you walk out and say, I'm going to make it in time for the ball game. Oh, Lord, I'm going to make it in time for the ball game. Ain't nothing wrong with a ball game. Ain't nothing. But if you're putting God's time. I'll tell you what. Over the years, Sheila and I have been privileged to see many, many ministers that have really been gifted and anointed over the years to do things as far as praying for the sick and miracles, that kind of thing. What I found and what I discovered was this. Some of the best things that I saw happen in the era of miracles and healings, some of the best things happened at the end of the service when about half the people had left. When about half the people had gone, I saw some of the best things I ever saw in my life. And what happens is this. We don't have time for God. Spirit is not affected by space or time. And if you ain't got time for God, you're not worshiping in spirit. You're not praying in spirit. Some only worship at a certain time, don't they? Look at verse 23, what Jesus say. The hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father. You see that? True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. Do you know what Jesus just did? I don't know if you caught it, but He introduced them to the Father. Because you can start in the book of Genesis and go to the book of Malachi and they don't know God as Father. To them, God is just some other kind of thing somewhere that's about to kill you any minute, strike you down dead any minute. And he's really up. They don't know Him as Father. They don't understand that word Father. Remember what happened when they were going to stone Jesus one time, the Jewish people were? And what did Jesus say? What good work are you going to stone me for? What have I done that you're going to stone me for? They said, we ain't stoning you for any good works. We're stoning because you're making yourself, but calling God your Father. That's why we're going to do it. You're calling God your Father. To them, they are offended at that. God is so uniquely other than us that there's just no way that you could have personal relationship with God the Father. And, you know, we just went through election time, but if you can go through elections year after year after year after year, one of the things that religious people get, you know, get, not religious people, Christian people, get accused of is when they talk about prayer. Now, they don't mind you talking about prayer. We're all three up here praying. And we're praying to Buddha or Muhammad or some Hindu prayer or this or that, the other, and Krishna might let you throw that in there. And all these kind of prayers that they're talking about, they don't really mind and all that. Excuse me. But when they say that I have a personal relationship with God the Father, and I'm going to believe Him to do thus and so, I mean, they just lose their mind when they hear that. I remember years ago, regardless of what you think of this kind of stuff, but years ago, Pat Robertson was running for president. In the midst of that, a hurricane was headed for Virginia Beach. Pat said he got out there and prayed, and they asked him about it. What do you think is going to happen? He said, I don't believe he's going to hit us. I said, why not? Because I talked to God the Father. And I prayed and asked him. They said, no, this man's crazy. We get him in the White House, he'll be praying. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that unbelievable? He'll be praying up there, actually expecting God to hear his prayer, expecting God to do something. See, the world doesn't mind you having religion, but they can't stand you having real Christianity and real worship. Amen? Now then, notice he says he's the Father now. You know, your prayer is based on that understanding and based on that relationship that God's your Father. God is your Father. Sheila and I have two children, and literally they can get anything we got. But you can't. Somebody say amen. Understand what I'm saying? I'm going to bless you and help you too along the way if I can, for sure. But they got a special relationship because I'm the father and she's the mother and they're the kids. That's just the way it happens. Amen? Well, you know, that's where it works in the arena of prayer. You think that you're going to gain the access of power that will move this universe without having relationship with God the Father? No, won't happen. You got to have relationship with Him. You got to know Him. You got to live with Him. He has to become your best friend. Amen? Amen. He's got to become your best friend in life. Say this many times, Sheila and I talk about it, and I hear people, I understand what they're saying. They say, well, I married my best friend. I didn't marry my best friend. I married the person I was in love with. If I'd married my best friend, I'd married Harry, and that would have been real bad, so I wouldn't. Been bad for both of us. But God, I love God. And He's also become my best friend. Everybody say, me and God? D fingers like that. Say, me and God? Just like that. Just like that, man. That's me and God. We go play together. We do stuff together. We can hang out together. It's me and God. Now, I feel that way about Him. I can also say, I love Him. I respect Him. I'll bow before Him. I'll reverence Him. At the same way, I mean, it's just this dual relationship. Let me show you where it's at. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Everybody say, we worship in spirit and in truth. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How many have been redeemed? Because you've been redeemed, you've also been adopted. What does adopted mean? God's become your father. You become His child. You're a woman, you're His daughter. If you're a man, you're His son. We are children of God. And so He's redeemed us that we might receive an adoption of son. I've been chosen. When you are adopted, someone chooses you. And you've been chosen to be a child. Look at verse 6. Immediately then, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit. See that word Spirit? The Spirit of His Son. The Spirit of His Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. You know what Abba, Father is? Abba is an Aramaic word. And if you look in his side notes, you might see the word there as Father, but sometimes you'll see the word as Daddy. It's more of an intimate term of Father. Father is a term of respect, of honor. It's a right and a just term. But then the word Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, it's a close relationship, personal kind of thing, term when we see that. And what has happened is the Spirit of God, when you got born again, He brought you into the family of God, and God has become your Father. And when God become your Father, then you got a right to pray like Jesus said, we worship, we pray to the Father. That's who we're talking to. Got a divine connection to the Father. Everybody say, I'm connected. I'm connected to the Father. You see, that right there, one understanding of that will help you in the area of prayer. Away with this kind of stuff. I've been praying all day and I can't feel like God's a million miles away. I don't know where God's at. Well, something's wrong with your relationship. We'll say to you things like, well, he's right there with you, and he has, and we'll try to encourage you all that stuff, but something's wrong with your relationship. If you pray and you're seeking God, and you don't even know if he's within a million miles away, I mean, you know the devil's closer than that. You've got a closer relation to the devil than God, if that be the case. My, people know the devil's after me. Where's God? I don't know. But the devil's after me. You know the devil's after you, but you don't know where God's at. Something's wrong with your relationship, amen? And so you got to understand, you've been created a child of God. Look at verse 7. Wherefore we're no more a servant. And don't go haywire with all this stuff. We understand the understanding of servanthood. Of course we choose to serve the Father. We bow our knee. We recognize him as Lord and Savior. Of course we do. But on the understanding of us being like a slave or a servant before God, and he's a wicked taskmaster and forces us to do this, no, that's not what we are. We're not that kind of a servant, not at all. Not that kind of servant, but we're a child, we're a son. And if a son, then we're an heir through Christ Jesus. I got every right to everything that Jesus got. We're joint heirs with Christ. And what did he have? He had a great relationship with the Father. And you got a right to have a great relationship with the Father. Well, wait a minute, I thought he was God's. He was, and he came to this earth. The Bible teaches us he came to this earth. He laid down that part of him that understood him to be God, and he was born in flesh, grew up as a child, learned to read, learned to write, learned to pray, learned to quote the Torah. Those things that he did as a Jewish child, grew all the way up until 30 years of age, and at 30 years of age, he was baptized in the Spirit in the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit came, and it started his ministry. And everything you see Jesus do, he did it based on his relationship with God the Father as a human child would do. See, you got to get past that point. If we're always in, oh no, he was God. Then if you do that, and he was, understand the dual purposes. Understand that. But if you just always say in everything he did, oh, when he healed the sick, that's because he was God. No, it's because he was anointed of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, is what the Bible tells us. But if I always want to say, oh, that's just because he's God, then what you'll do, you'll back up from everything, and you won't see Jesus' life as meaning anything to you. Because whenever somebody reviled him and he didn't revile back, whenever he, you know, did good things toward people who needed things in their life, when he was always blessing and loving and caring, you look at it and say, yeah, but he was God. Yeah, but he was God. Yeah, but he was God. And what you think that does is give you an out that you don't have to be like that. Why? Because he was God. I can't be like that, Pastor. He was God. You got to get past that point. Yes, but he laid down that part of him that caused me God, or didn't use it, whichever one you want to say, called a hypostatic union in theology. But he laid that down, and he lived a life as a human being. So he could be a teacher and an example to us to show us how to live the life. Now, the Bible said in the book of Philippians, when he was raised from the dead, he picked all that back up, okay? But during his earth life, he was showing us how to live. And so we are in relationship with God the Father. Go back to John. Look with me, John. Look at John chapter 1. I'll begin to bring it to close. Verse 14 of the book of John. John 1, verse 14. Notice what scripture. Everybody say, true worshiper. True worshiper. That's what I want to be. True worshiper. John chapter 1, verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says the Word. See the word, capital Word, the Logos, the divine Logos of God, the second person in the Trinity, God Almighty. The Word was made flesh and dwelt or lived among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say grace and truth. Now we look, Jesus said this. He said, when you worship, you have to worship in spirit and in truth. You worship in spirit and truth. When you're born again, it's the Holy Spirit that comes in your life that brings the Spirit of Christ into you that causes you to become a child. You know the difference in religion and being born again? Religious people go to church. Religious people read their Bible. Religious people pray. Religious people don't cuss. Religious people do lots of good things. But you know the difference in a religious person and a person born again? A person who's born again feels God inside. He feels God inside. He's not doing it because he just read a creed or a book of rules or had a conscience that bugged him so much he gave into it. But a person that's truly born again has a relationship inside, as we read in Galatians 4:6, and we cry forth, Abba, Father. Something's on the inside of me. Say, I got something on the inside. And it cries out for God. Something inside. That's a relationship that we have. Now notice, verse 17 of the same chapter. For the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed. Jesus said what? We worship in spirit and truth. You guys don't know what you're worshiping. You guys got intelligent worship, but it's not right. But now here's the way God's seeking somebody to worship. It's in spirit and in truth. The spirit part of it is when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and recreates your spirit, giving you the opportunity to cry forth, Abba, Father, to God. And the truth part of it is walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ in everything you do, because he is the truth. The Bible said, John 14, verse 6, it said there that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man comes unto the Father, including prayer. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so when we're praying and we're seeking God, we're actually seeking God. Hold this thought and just understand what I'm saying? You're actually praying and seeking God as if you were Jesus. Didn't say you was Jesus. It says as if you were. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it goes on down past verse 17, right along about verse 20, and it talks about us. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that you become ambassadors of Christ Jesus. We are representatives of Christ in this world. That's who we are. Jesus talked about it in the book of John. He talked about praying. He said when we pray, it's me and the Father and me and you. It's a threefold connection. We always think about God and Jesus, Jesus and God. But it's God and Jesus and God and us and Jesus and us and God. We're all there together. There's that connection that is there. And when we pray, the Bible tells us that Jesus is our great high priest in heaven. And he's praying to the Father. What does a high priest do? He didn't write their own rules, those kind of things. Some of us be funny about stuff like that. I tell Sheila sometimes, I'll say, do this or do that. And she says, well, what is that? I say, that's just a rule. And I'll tell her, I'll say things like that. Sheila, you know, I don't write the rules, I just tell you what they are. But anyway, she said, no, you wrote that one. You wrote that one, Leon. But Jesus is not up there writing the rules in heaven. You are. Now, the only way they're going to get carried forth is if they're in line with the Spirit of God and his word. But by what you say, the way you live your life and what you're doing, Jesus is representing you to the Father. So I can't pray. I can't pray to the Father unless I'm praying in Christ Jesus. Some people get so bent out of shape. Say, oh, you said you can pray what you will. Well, you can pray what you will. John 15:6 tells us that. If you abide in Christ and his words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. What is that? If you abide in Christ and his words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. You got to be in him and his words got to be in you. It's that relationship there is right. You know what? Work on the relationship. Work on the relationship which you've got with God. God's given us a wonderful relationship. You just got to develop it. Good things that God's done for us. You just got to make it happen into your life and develop those kind of things. We'll get to the steps of prayer. Pray this way, that way, and the other. Sure, we'll get to all that. But that's not even ready to begin until you got the relationship right. You got to get that thing right with God. And sometimes that's just falling in God's presence. And I have got more prayers answered of stuff and things that when I bought this little truck. I mean, I went down there looking for a truck. I didn't even buy from the dealership. The guy that ran the place and owned the place sold it to me. It was his personal truck. He said, I got one. Why then? Why at that time? And he was about to walk out the door. Why all of that? Why? Because I'm walking in prayer and I'm believing God and trusting God to lead and direct my path. The good Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe he'll make things right. And he gave me this tremendous deal on it. And so I was able to do that. But the thing is, it's not just saying, oh, God, give me a truck. God, give me a truck. God, give me a truck. Lord, I want a truck. I want a truck. I want a truck. Lord, give me a truck. I want a truck. And I told Sheila I wanted a truck, you know, and that kind of thing. And she said, what you going to do with it? I said, well, I'm going to take stuff to the dump with it. What else you going to do with it? I said, I might go buy a piece of plywood every now and then, stick it in the back and close the gate on. What else you going to do with it? Well, I'll use it, come church on Tuesdays, and we won't have to use our Jeep and all that. And she said, so you just want a work truck? I said, yeah. And I got it home. I said, Sheila, I can't help it. It's got mag wheels on it and all kind of good stuff on it. I can't help that. It's just the way it came. But the thing is this, you know, you got to have that relationship right with God. And don't just ask and ask and ask and ask for this. Sometimes back up from that. If you've been asking for something that's covered in God's Word more than a few times, I'm not always saying that just all of a sudden you see it. But if you spent some time asking or believing God for something in your life that is promised in the Scriptures, that is promised there, and that you would use according to the principles of God, and you're having difficulty receiving it in your life, then maybe what you need to do is back up a little bit and work on that relationship. Work on the relationship. It ain't that God don't want you to have it. His promises are certainly true. But you got to be in a certain place in your life and position in your life where things are right between you and the Lord. Amen? What do regular parents do? Regular parents do says, you know, you can do this for me? Yeah. Kid says, I'm going to do that. Yeah, we'll do it. Uh-oh, well, you messed up. You didn't clean your room. You didn't do that. Would you put that off for next week? And some of us haven't cleaned our room. Amen? Need to do some house cleaning. Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord. Get that relationship right. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father God, I come before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Stretch your hands toward heaven. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Father, I come before you. Standing now, clearly seen, clearly revealed. My life is open before you. You see me inside and out. You know me through and through. Sometimes, Lord, when I look at myself, I don't see everything that you see. Oh God, whatever work needs to be done in me, do it, Lord. I yield myself to you, give you myself fully, holy, completely. Nothing is more important. Space or time means nothing when I consider you. Lord God, I want you. Fill my life to overflowing. Fill my life until I no longer look like myself, but I look just like my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, fill me. Fill me, I pray. In the wonderful name of the Lord, thank you, Father. I am absolutely in love with you. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Lord God Almighty, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen? God's good.